We're back into Luke today. Luke 21 is where we are. The widow's mite. Right at the beginning of Luke 21. Anyway, the point to all that was simply that God brings things along that causes us to recognize that my faith may not be as strong as I thought it was. And he just, in his grace, calls us to rely on him more, and he gives us everything we need. And then sometimes we drift off, and he allows something else to pull us back. It's wonderful. So Luke chapter 21, verse 1 says, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, 'Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had.'" Lord, thank you for this time we have, and thank you that your Holy Spirit is here with us and always pointing us to Jesus and always drawing us to a deeper place with you. And Lord, we're not here because it's Sunday morning. We're here because we want to be close to you, God. We want to hear your voice. We want to respond in a way that's pleasing to you. And we thank you for how you are working in our midst, God, and how you are doing the miraculous. I pray this week and even now we would open our eyes and see you working in our midst and acknowledge you as that good. So thank you for your word. We pray that you would just give it great inspiration into our hearts, and we would draw close to you because of it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we start today, I wanted to throw a couple of pictures up because I think it's important that we get a good sense of the temple region. So I don't know if Evangeline's going to do it or Nathan, but if we can throw the first picture up, this is how the Temple Mount area looks today. Okay, so up there is, up here, I got a little pointer thing if I can figure out how to use it. This is north. So over here is the Garden of Gethsemane, Mount of Olives, all that, okay? And so this is the Dome of the Rock. And one of the biggest mosques in the world is right there. There's the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall. We'll talk about it next week, some of this area too, because Jesus talks about end times things for the next couple of weeks, okay? So that's how it looked in looks presently. Then the next slide is how it looked in Jesus' time. Now this is north up here, okay? So we come at it from a different direction. Here is that. Hey, can you go back to the other one? See that gate right there? That's over here. You see that? I forget the gate. Beautiful? No, that beautiful's here. Anyway, this is east. Okay, go ahead. So this is what we want to talk about today. Here's the Temple Mount region during the time of Jesus. This area here is called the Court of the Gentiles. Anybody who is a seeker of God is welcome into this area. It's about 17 acres. And the main area to come in was over here, and then it was full of bazaar. It's where they sold the lambs and the doves, and it's where they had the money changers, and they, you know, they had all sorts of things. So it's a huge kind of carnival-ish kind of area out in here. So then the next area you'd go in is, and we'll show another picture of it, but this area right here, that's called the Court of Women. Okay, so only Jews could go in this area here. So everybody could go in here. Only Jews were allowed in here. That area could be 15,000 worshipers at a time could be in this area. There was a sign that was posted on these walls here. It said, "No Gentiles or dogs are allowed to pass this wall at the point of death." So Israelites were allowed to get in here. Then we'll see it in a second. There's these steps. You go into this area here, and right past here is called the Court of Israel. Only Jewish men were allowed there. And right past there is the altar. And right in front of the door is the court of the priests. And the priests were allowed to be there. And then you'd walk in only the main priest could walk in, and that's where the Holy of Holies and all that is, okay? You with me so far? Okay, go into the next slide. Now, the next slide is going to be this area right here, okay? Go back one. I got ahead of myself. So here, now we're going to talk just about the court of women right here, okay? Here's the next slide. This is the court of women. From that other picture, it was kind of hard to see how big it is. Again, 15,000 worshipers could be in this area, and then the men would walk up, and they were allowed to go into this area here, okay? What about the court of women? Everything's good. Okay, so now inside the court of women then is where the temple treasury is. There were 13 trumpet-shaped receptacles that are attached to a wall. They're called trumpets because they're shaped. The next picture we have a little bit of a picture of the trumpet attached to a wall. I think we have it. See these trumpets right here? Okay, go back one. Get that image in your mind. See the column. So they were long in these areas would be where the temple treasury was. All right? 13 receptacles. Let's see the receptacle again. Then you can go back. So there's a receptacle. So you would walk up and you would drop your offerings in these little trumpet-shaped things. You can go back to the court of women and leave it there because that's all we have today. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about today when we read in there that Jesus goes into the what's it say? Jesus, it doesn't say where he is. In Matthew, they put their gifts into the treasury. The treasury is located in this area here. So here's what goes on inside the treasury. 13 receptacles. 9 of them were for mandatory giving, and 4 of them were for voluntary giving. And then when you walked in, the first 2 trumpets were for your temple tax, where you had to pay a half a shekel once a year. Then the other 12 little trumpet-shaped things were for purposes related to the daily sacrifice and temple worship. The cost of the doves, the wood for the altar, incense. There were costs associated with that. And then you would give in the temple treasury. So that helps us as we begin today, hopefully, get a little bit of a picture in your mind of what's happening as Jesus walks in to the court of women. Now, Mark tells us this. Jesus sat down and saw how people put money into the treasury. So he goes into this area, somewhere in this area, he finds a spot to sit, and he observes, and the key word there is how people put money into the treasury. It doesn't say Jesus observed what people put in the treasury. It says that Jesus observed how. And that's the center of this, is the word how. Because many people, when they teach this or when they read this, they miss the mark totally because they want to turn it into a money thing, and they get all caught up into what the woman gave. So if you're visiting today, it's not a turn your wallet inside out teaching, so you can relax, your wallet's safe. We're not going to talk about that. We just want to talk about the point Jesus is attempting to make. Now, this day for Jesus, it's been a long day. And since we've missed a number of weeks because of Christmas and stuff, I want to remind you, we're about 3 days out from Jesus' crucifixion. And he has been in the temple precincts for all week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, this is probably in the middle of that. All week he's been in there. He's being grilled by the religious leaders of Israel who are hostile toward him. And they're trying to drag him into controversy so they can find a reason to kill him. So they don't like what he's doing. One question, if you look back into 20, you don't have to, I'll just remind you. Remember one of the questions we talked about a few number of weeks ago was, is it lawful to pay taxes unto Caesar? And if Jesus answered no, then they can accuse him of being an insurrectionist who's leading a rebellion against Rome. And if he replies, they thought they had him trapped. Jesus replies by saying, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God." Then they ask a question about the resurrection. And they made up a story about the woman. Remember the woman who poisoned all 7 of her husbands? Poor guys. Now, if you're number 7, aren't you thinking something's up at that point in time? Henry VIII, I am, kind of thing. And they ask the question about the resurrection, whose wife will she be? And Jesus answers her question about the resurrection. And if you weren't here, you can go back and listen to all that teaching related to that. And on and on and on the questions go. Throughout this day, Jesus is being grilled by the religious leaders. It's been a very difficult day for Jesus, full of open hostility. So Jesus, likely worn out from all that that's been going on, goes into this court of women, and he sits down opposite the treasury area and watches, again, the word there, how the people put their money into the treasury. It's angelic. And when he sits there, something about this lady stands out to him. And I think it's because he saw the intent of her heart. He saw what it meant for her hand to open up and to let go of those two mites. A mite's about a quarter of a penny. The Talmud said that two mites was the smallest amount of money a person could give. Because people will wonder, well, why didn't she just keep one mite for herself? Well, the Talmud said you have to give at least two mites. And tradition wouldn't allow her to give less than that. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes my kids would get change and they'd say something like, it's only a penny. Now, in my family, it's forbidden to put those two words in the same sentence. Only and money. It is forbidden. And you'll hear it every around us. There's no such thing as only a penny. If you don't want it, give it to me. I'll take it. I'm serious as a heart attack. I mean, I'll stop and pick up every penny in the parking lot. I don't care where I am. If it's heads up, buddy, look out, because the Bible even says that's good luck. Wait a minute. The Bible even says that's good luck. Okay. No, it doesn't. So two mites is a quarter of a penny. Now, we don't know this lady's name, and we don't know her age, but we do know that she had outlived her husband. And a widow in this society is in big trouble because she's on the lowest rung of society's totem pole, and she is totally powerless. And not only is the woman a widow, but she's poor. And the word poor there means she's a pauper. It means she's destitute. And we know one other thing about this lady. We know she's not bitter toward God over losing her husband. Because she's in church to worship the God who took her husband. And she's here to give what little she has to the Lord. Notice, too, as we read those four verses, nothing spoken between Jesus and this woman. There's no record that she is ever aware of him sitting there and watching her. She came, she met with God, she gave to God, maybe discreetly because she was a little embarrassed about how little she had to give, and then she leaves quietly. Now, look down a little bit. So verse 1 and 2, we see the kind of setting it up. Verse 3, then, Jesus says, Mark tells us that he calls his disciples to him, and he says, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. She out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. Notice he says, this poor widow has put in more than all. This tells us that Jesus has a different way of measuring giving. Because if two mites from a widow are more than all that the rich had given, then heaven definitely measures much differently than we do. And I think that's the main point Jesus is making here. Because we learn here that the size of the gift isn't measured supremely by the amount. Instead, it's measured by the sacrifice that it represents. And Jesus says, she gave more than all the others. They gave out of their abundance. She gave, the word is, out of her bios. The word is what we use for biology. In other words, she had given her entire life into the hands of Almighty God. And this widow had to have looked at those two mites. And she realized that if I'm obedient to the Lord, he's going to give back to me far more than what these two mites could ever give. Lord, I put these two mites into your hands, into your care, and I trust that your provision is going to be much greater than what these two mites could buy. And boy, that's a really good attitude to have. Now, it's interesting, as you read through these four verses, there's not 1 ounce of pity on Jesus' part toward this woman. Now, why is that? He doesn't say, oh, the poor lady, she's barely getting by. He doesn't say that at all. Why? Jesus knows that God's going to take care of her because the Lord will never allow a woman like that to suffer, to be destitute, to go hungry. Never, never, never. And Jesus recognized that as he sits in that little area. He knows that God's going to take care of her, and he can allow that woman to walk in there, give those two mites, and leave, and Jesus lets her leave. He could have dropped $1 billion into her pocket that day. He didn't give her one penny. It's a fascinating thing to think about when you really get right down to it. He just let her go. So a couple things to note about this passage. Clearly, we're just going to do these four verses today. This passage teaches us that our giving to God needs to be a sacrifice on our part. Because Jesus wasn't only aware of the amount that every single person gave that day in the treasury, but he recognized the sacrifice that the gift represented to the giver. Isn't that amazing to realize that Jesus knows all that? So when you give, Jesus recognized the amount of the gift and the sacrifice that it represents to you. Most people tip God from their surplus. Few people know the joy of truly giving to God, because real giving digs deep. King David said this way, "Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing." So, one thing to think about from week to week, do you give to God or do you merely slip him a tip? So that's one. True giving to God represents sacrifice. Another lesson we should learn through this is that no gift is insignificant or unimportant to God. Because in our culture today, virtually everything is measured by how big it is. I mean, TV's the size of the wall. And we tend to think that bigger is better. Therefore, we might think that a small gift is insignificant. But Jesus clearly teaches here that all giving is noticed by God. The issue isn't the size of the gift, but the sacrifice of the gift. So that's the second thing. The third thing is, I think it's important to recognize the Bible teaches each one of us as Christians that we should be giving to God. We must not allow even our poverty to keep us from giving something to God. Every Christian is called to give sacrificially to the Lord. Paul said this to the church in Corinth. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. So just a couple things to ponder as we read over this teaching. And I think that when Jesus walks in and he watches this lady drop those two mites into that coin or into that treasury pot, it really encouraged his heart. Because he watches a woman cast her whole life into the hands of Almighty God. Not just for that day, but for every day that's coming. And here is a lady who's not understood by people, not even noticed by people that are around her. And she's giving something that in a sense is a greater sacrifice than all the other sacrifices that happened that day in the temple precincts. And here's Jesus watching this, putting his life into the hands of the Father, because he's about to say in another day or so, not my will, but yours be done. And here's Jesus, misunderstood by his own disciples, not really noticing why he's there. Here's Jesus about to make the greatest sacrifice that's ever been made. I think he identifies with this woman. I think his heart falls out of his chest for this woman because he realizes that what she's doing, he's doing. When she went into that temple that day and opened her hand and dropped those two mites in, she literally was giving her life into the hands of Almighty God. See, that's why Jesus takes note of how she's giving, because she's giving in faith. She's giving in faith. And I find fascinating, you know, Google this teaching, and then you won't have to look far how people turn this completely into a money sermon. They say that Jesus measures what we give by what we have left. And that's a great sermon to make people put more money in the offering box. But it's not about the fact that this woman gave her all. Golly, the Buddhists who set themselves on fire give their all, don't they? Yeah, they do. That's not the point of this teaching at all. People who teach that miss the point entirely. This woman is doing much more than giving her all. She's giving in faith. She's trusting God with her life. All that I have, she's saying, all that I am is yours, God. Now, I don't doubt that there were wealthy people this day who went into the temple treasury, dropped money into the bucket when their heart was in the right place. I don't doubt that at all. But this woman exemplifies a person who lives her life one day at a time, one meal at a time, one prayer at a time. And she lives her life really in the hands of God. So one thought to leave you with as we try to wrap it up a little bit today. The cash value of this widow's gift didn't add up to much. But the devotion that stood behind the gift, that's what mattered most. Now we don't know, again, anything about the richest person who walked into the temple that day. But we know about this widow. And Jesus pointed her out because of the way she gave, the how she gave. How many missionaries have been supported by two mites? Even today. How many hungry people have been fed? How many copies of the Bible have been printed and distributed? Man, why in the world? I had old King James there. It got stuck, right? Like I had a furball. Distributed. That's a new way of saying it. Let's all do that now. Yeah. If I had a pen, I'd just mark that off right there. That's a dumb word to have in there. But what kind of dividends did her obedience pay? So this back to the lady, okay? This lady may have thought that I don't have enough to offer God, so why bother? And you know, we can feel the same way sometimes. But often the things that are little in our eyes are very large in the heart of God because he sees how we give, not what we give. And I want to encourage you. If you think that what you have to give doesn't really matter, your talents, your time, your resources, then these four verses are for you to grab a hold of and really understand what the heart of God is. Do you have two mites? Do you have an hour? Do you have an ear to listen? Do you have 10 minutes to get on your knees and pray? Because the New Testament holds before us a pattern of giving. And it uses this widow as an example because the pattern isn't in the amount, but in the motive, in the sacrifice, in the devotion. And so when God speaks of giving, he always speaks of how. Always. So what's the small thing that God might be asking you to give today? You know, we have children in this church. Is God prompting your heart to serve them with an hour of your time here and there? Think of what happens for church to occur the way it does. I mean, somebody made coffee for you this morning. Somebody is helping with the sound. Somebody's putting the words up on the screen. And somebody comes in during the week and sweeps and takes out the garbage and does the things like that. Think of the person at school, or think of the person for us adults at work who's an outcast. Can you give of yourself to them? Or the single mom who lives in your neighborhood. Can you bless her this week somehow? Or maybe the retired person who's lonely and would just like to have somebody to talk to. Or the person that maybe is in prison or in a retirement home or in a mission house. What's God calling you to give? And you think it's an insignificant thing. No, it's a significant thing. And if God's calling you to stop and help somebody get to church, if God is calling you to do things that you would think, well, that doesn't really matter, and it matters a lot because it's about obedience. You're showing your devotion to God. These things matter to Him. And no one else may notice, just like this widow. But Jesus watches, and He takes note of the attitude of our heart. So if you're willing to give two mites because you love God, it pays eternal dividends. You know the children when they're up there? Can you open your eyes and see them as adults? You had a part in fashioning their lives when they get to 20 and 25. And you can come in and out of here every week. And maybe you stop and drop a check in the box. But it really doesn't cost you anything. But how about when you hear the Holy Spirit of God tapping on your heart saying, it's time to give a little bit of yourself to the children in the church. It's time to be involved in the next outreach. It's time to be involved in the next mission trip. It's time, rather than playing on your phone during lunch break, maybe you can take a few minutes to pray for them. That's a sacrifice. It's a commitment that costs. But that's the kind of giving that blesses the heart of God. So this morning, we have time to say, before God, Lord, I'm sorry. I thought my contribution was insignificant. But Lord, I give what I have to You, however small it is, and I give it with my entire heart because I love You, God. I can make coffee. I can write a note of encouragement to someone. I can be like Liz and give cookies to Pastor Toby. No nuts. I can pray. I can love. I can be here a little early because I can stand at the door and greet people with a smile and say hello. I can do those things, God. It's not insignificant. And Lord, I willingly do that. Because I love You, God, for saving me, giving me a new life, a life that's purposeful now, a life that's got love flowing out of me because of what You've done for me, God. That's the lesson for me of the widow's mite. Now, let me say it. I don't know what I did with it. Remember, for those of us who were here last week, I am invited you, if you want to. We have some directories, church directories, and I, this week, prayed page one. So everybody who was a part of page one, I and whoever wanted to, we prayed through these names, Todd and Aaron, we prayed through them this week. So this week coming up, we're going to pay those who want to with me, we're going to pray through page two. There's some directories right back there where Jeff is. We have more if we run out, and some you guys have them. But so what? If you want to do this with me, so starting today, we're going to start with Sherry Howerton, Amy Farmy's mom, and we're going to pray through this page, just this page. And then the week after that, we're going to do this, and then we're going to, however many pages there are, 8 or 10 weeks, we'll just do that, okay? It's a way that you can give your two mites. Here, let's pray. Lord, thanks for this. Just gentle reminder of how You measure giving. And Lord, I know that I'm amongst my friends and we are a very generous church. Very generous, Lord. And we really, really want You to use us in this world. But I pray that just as we sit before You for a second, we'd allow You to show us if there's anything about our giving that is just kind of like those who walked in the temple treasury and dropped out of their abundance and there wasn't any sacrifice to it. And Lord, we ask you to show us, Lord, how we're to function in that. I don't know how it works, Lord. You do. So, Lord, we just offer all that we have to you. We're so thankful for what you've given to us. And, Lord, we want to hold it all with an open hand. And we thank you for the example of this lady who was willing to give out of her poverty. She cast her whole life into your hands. And, Lord, we want to cast our lives into your hands, too. And I know we're talking about money in this a little bit, but Lord, it's about much, much more than that. It's about our time. It's about our devotion. It's about what matters. So Lord, I just pray that you would show us how we're to be givers, how we're to sacrificially give. So have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.